We have the recording underway. Okay, that's happening. I want to, you know, encourage everyone to make this as interactive as possible. So don't hesitate. Don't hold back on any questions at all. Make sure that you ask them. And what we want to do is today with Michael Edward, who is, you know, spending this whole week of webinars with us to share some very important information. I think it might be helpful, Michael, if you would just hit very lightly, give us a encapsulated version of what we did yesterday so that people are kind of on the same page and have a reminder, and then we can move forward into the next subject. So if you would.
Sure, I'd be glad to. In fact, you're reading my mind. That's exactly how I was going to start. Recapping yesterday. First of all, I'd start off by saying that nobody gets into this particular activity just because they wake up one morning and decide that, oh, this is going to be something interesting to do. I think I'll quit my job I've had for 30 years or 10 years or whatever and just do something new and exciting. Nobody does that. What they do is they find that a badge gets draped across their nose. They get a knock on the door, whatever it is. They have an interaction with the state, with government in some form or capacity, and it doesn't sit well with them. And what I mean by it doesn't sit well with them is that regardless of what is purportedly a law, we have in our own spirit a sense of right and wrong and a sense of that should be law and that should not be law, et cetera. And we often find that we're being charged with things with charges that really have no bearing in what's right or wrong and what's right. So that happened to me, and it happened to many others that I associate with. I put together an organization called YourRemedyIsInTheLaw.com because I knew that was the truth, that whatever was happening, whether it was against me from the state or I needed to go against somebody for their injuring me, that my remedy was in the law. And so we put that together. And I have focused really the last 3.5 years, 4 years on building that website to what it is today, which is a very, very successful interactive website. It's a hands-on website. It's a tool for the members to use to very, very affordably, to free, find their remedy in the law. We offer a structured do-it-yourself. A turnkey operation, regardless of whether it is applying to the IRS, it applies to traffic cases, your traffic ticket, credit card issues, home foreclosures, and or possibly your automobile being repossessed. All we do is focus on what is the law and how does it apply to this instant matter. And what you'll find is through the very raw power of discovery, which is a term used in due process, that the truth will come out. And you'll also find, too, that there are numerous federal agencies that have come into existence for the sole purpose of protecting the consumer against the abuses of various industries, be they predatory lenders, predatory debt collectors, or corporations that are just there to rape and plunder the unknowing for as long as they can. Now, in the course of building this website, we built something very, very important. It's called Statewide Communications. And Statewide Communications is the background and the backbone, rather, of all the websites that we have. Statewide Communications enables uniquely all the members to communicate with all the other members blindly and then to focus that communication by a disciplined topic or issue that's dedicated to that website, and then to rifle or target that communication to a specific geographical or political venue. Now, that's called Statewide Communications, and that's the backbone of everything that we do. So with its application at Your Remedy is in the law, people are able to, for the first time, to network with each other at the county level as co-members in Your Remedy is in the law, studying law together, and then also upholding each other and witnessing for each other in court. If any of you have had experience in a courtroom, And statistically, that should be, you know, if you're of the age of 50 or more, that should be basically every one of you at one time or another. You'll know that the courtroom is not necessarily a lawful place, that the a judge may not recognize or choose not to recognize due process, or he may choose or she may choose not to recognize what the law is as it's stated, and will simply arrogantly say sometimes, dropping the gavel, this is my courtroom and I'll tell you what the law states. Okay? No, it's not okay. So when the law is thrown out of the courtroom, the remaining power, if you would, is the inherent power of the people. It's when the peasants with pitchforks grab their lanterns and pitchforks and they storm the castle gate that it's over. It's game over. Historically speaking, no government, no state has ever survived the people's open rebellion. And blessedly, in our nation, for the sacrifices some 230-some years ago, our open rebellion takes place in the courtroom, takes place at the voting booth, and so forth and so on. Well, when you walk into a courtroom with 10, 15 people who are those who have sworn to support you through your remedies in the law, then you're telling that judge that he not only has a lawful issue to be concerned with that he heretofore might have just ignored, but he now has a political issue to be very concerned with, because he knows that statistically, if there's 10 people in front of him, that easily represents 1,000 people behind them. And what I mean by that, if any of you have been in advertising and marketing, for every one complaint that you have, there's 100 or more complaints that you didn't hear about on the same thing. So anyways, that's what we covered yesterday, and that's kind of the segue into what we're talking about today, is Americans Restoring America. Your remedies in the law is a spoke, if you would, in a wheel. Think of an old wagon wheel. And statewide communications is the hub that spoke connects into, and the other side of that connection is the rim that goes around or makes the wheel, and that's Americans Restoring America. If you go to AmericansRestoringAmerica.com, and I'm going to spell it right now, just take a moment, AmericansRestoringAmerica.com, AmericansRestoringAmerica.com, you will see the whole picture there. If you have a username and password already, then just log in, click on the Members Area tab, and then click on Preferences tab, and you'll see all of the subjects right there unfold before you that you can network with your neighbors at the county level to build a consensus and to build a response, a political response to an issue in your local area. And then, of course, that goes through that organization back into the hub itself, which is using statewide communications to make that effect. If you do not have a username and password for your remedy is in the law, for Americans Restoring America, it is available to you without cost. Membership in this organization is without cost, and we're never going to charge for this opportunity that we have to restore America.
Short email from me. Hello?
You faded out just a little bit there. We lost about the last, 20 seconds or so.
Okay.
At least I did. I didn't hear it.
Okay. Well, I'll repeat that. What I was saying is that at Americans Restoring America, it is a free subscription. There are no membership fees for that. In fact, there are no membership fees for any of the spokes in that wheel except for one, and that is your remedy is in the law. And there you have a two-month trial period where you have full and complete access as a paid member without having paid, so that you have the opportunity to determine if you indeed want to use that service. But all of the other websites are available to you without cost through AmericansRestoringAmerica.com. What you will have on a monthly basis is you will receive a short email from me saying that if you want to support the work that we're doing, would you kindly consider donating $5, $10, $20 or more, whatever. There's a little gold coin there that's rotating, and you can just click on that and make as generous a contribution as you would care to. The thing is it doesn't matter whether you do or from a point of service to you. As long as we're have our doors open, you have complete and total access to everything that we do without cost to you, whether you donate or not. I just want to make sure that's perfectly clear. We have been successful recently through Euremides and the law in providing services that have raised revenues that have at least maintained the absolute minimum. So that's that. Anyways, on to Americans Restoring America. I think it is painfully obvious to all of us that our elected, our appointed, and our hired representatives, our public servants, have but one thing on their mind, and quite sadly, that is the planned destruction of America. Dr. James Wardner wrote a book just by that name, incidentally. I encourage you to find it and buy it. I think it's like $10. And it really outlines for the last 60 years how corporations have worked with an interlocutory relationship throughout these decades for the single concerted effort to bring down our country, to move from a national organization to a global. And he's done a wonderful job putting that together. And I encourage you, if you don't have a strong background as to why things are the way they are today, if you read that book, you'll certainly understand it a whole lot better. So the premise that I have behind Americans Restoring America is, since they are not going to do the job that we've asked them to do, and that obviously they have something else in mind, that it is going to take you and I, Americans, to restore America. And it's going to take the coordinated, organized effort for this to be done. Now, if you look back, sit back in your chair and just muse for a moment, you'll realize that there are many national organizations out there that have done a terrific job in disseminating information, either specific to a topic, like Gun Owners of America, Larry Pratt, I strongly support his group, to giving out information that is broad and general crossing many, many topics with great learning behind it, such as Restore the Republic, RTR, the Republic magazine. They're a perfect example of making a professional response to this. However, again, if you look at this from a hierarchical standpoint, this is top-down stuff, top-down. And my premise is that everything should be bottom-up. Because at the bottom level, you have grassroots. And grassroots is the one thing that is perfectly responsive of the people. And the problem that we've had with the grassroots effort is there's not been a way to streamline communications. The Internet's been wonderful as a general publishing area, where you can do wonderful investigations, and there's even been inroads to try to codify and geography these communications, but nothing has been really put into a simple, easy-to-use format till now. Statewide communications. AmericansRestoringAmerica.com, when you're on that website, you're going to look on the left-hand side, and you're going to see a list of subset websites underneath Americans Restoring America. Each one of these websites are dedicated to a particular theme. Political prisoners of America. I don't know if you know this. Statistically speaking, the feds, our federal government, Department of Justice, has like a 98 or 99% conviction rate every time they go to court. Yet in Canada, it's like 63% conviction rate for their federal or whatever it's called, the counterpart. So that means one of two things. either our federal government, the Department of Justice, is so incredibly accurate. And it also would mean then that the Canadian government's equivalent is not really that competent. Or it could be that maybe our federal government is looking for only convictions and has structured a system in place to where that's all you get is convictions. Hello, Mr. Nifong. And that the Canadian government is really interested more in advocating for the truth. I don't know. I can't make that call. But I know that statistically, if you go through a lawyer with the Department of Justice as your adversary, you have a 98% chance of being convicted. And so that's what political prisoners of America would be dedicated to. Then you've got people who are very interested in the various bills of rights, Bill of Rights, the First through Tenth Amendments, Second Amendment particularly, First Amendment. Well, the Second Amendment protects everybody else's, all the other amendments. So you have the People's Bill of Rights.com. If you're a Second Amendment person or a First Amendment, whatever, that's a website that you would want to join so that you can network with people at your county level, regardless of where you get your information from, whether it's the NRA or Gun Owners of America or whatever local clubs that you have. Regardless of who is supplying you the data, for the first time now, you can network with people that are on the same page that you are to come together and to bring forward with a voice of a collection of people that can't be ignored at the local county level. Here's a story. I gave the story yesterday. I'll repeat it again today. Last year, October, the latter part of October, I was going to a mall, and it was somewhat crowded, so we had to park out towards the outer fringes and to walk in. And when we were walking in, I found a collection of people, like 15, 18 people, and they're all different ages, all different shades of colored skin, you know, different white people, black people, brown people, red people, whatever, all different yellow, all different colored skin people, different races there. Nothing that you could really put your finger on. but they seemed to have a good time. And as I was walking by, not being a shy creature, I hollered out and says, "Hey, you're having too much fun over there," or something like that. And "What are you doing?" And a voice hollers back and says, "Are you a Ron Paul?" And I just kind of laughed and says, "Well, I do stand for the Constitution and nothing else." And he says, "Well, you're welcome, brother. Come on over here." So we just started talking, and the long and the short of it was, I asked how they got together there. He says, "Well, one guy just pulled in with his truck, and he had a Ron Paul for President sticker on the car, and on his truck, and he was getting out, and the guy that pulled in next to him saw it, and he had a Ron Paul sticker on it, so they didn't get any further than their tailgates, and they started talking, and then somebody else passed by in their car, and they saw the group assembled and saw the Ron Paul stickers, and when they got out of their cars, they're going in the mall. Anyways, the long story short is that it wasn't but a half hour, 45 minutes later, they had a crowd of, you know, 18 or 20 people. Here's the thing. This is the observation. If you provide a standard, if you provide the flagpole and the flag for people to rally under, if you would, you're going to, just by the nature of man, start collecting people to that topic or communication. And it's a perfect reflection of the power that statewide communications would have. If I were to run an ad in the paper that was just, say, two columns across, 1 inch deep, or three columns across, 1 inch deep, and all it said was TeaPartyCommunications.com. Now, there were 1.75 million people, allegedly, that appeared in Washington some 3 months or 4 months ago in protest. 1.75 million people. If that ad was placed in the Orlando Sentinel or the Miami Herald or whatever the Houston newspaper is, and the San Francisco Chronicle, and the Los Angeles Times, and whatever they're called, if those ads were placed, how many millions of Tea Party people do you think would be signing in and registering at TeaPartyCommunications.com? The answer is several million, I think. And it goes the same for RonPaulCommunications.com. It goes the same for
the People's Bill of Rights.com and all the other different subset websites you see there. Some of them I wouldn't put up. Dare to Work Smart, I wouldn't put that up. I'd probably, as a token, put up Homeschool Communications only because we should give credit and nod our head to the homeschoolers. These are the only people that seem to be getting an education today in our country and probably will ultimately end up being our only source of strength in the future for the next generation. But to build a database as large as possible, just to repeat these domain names over and over again, yourremediesinthelaw.com, that's one ad. AmericansRestoringAmerica.com, that's another ad, and so forth and so on. When the beauty of this works this way, each group has its own internal communication system through statewide communications. But through another program, which is also called statewide communications, not to be confused, that is the culmination of the aggregate total of all of the subset websites. So you may have 10 million people in the Tea Party. You may have 5 million people in the Ron Paul. You may have 5,000 people at Your Remedies in the Law and so forth and so on. But under statewide communications, the website, now you've got 16 million people. Well, 16 million people, you can do a lot politically with that, or they can do a lot politically with that. Nothing that I do as the owner, if you would, of Americans Restoring America, is to tell anyone what to do. I agree wholeheartedly with Ben Franklin, who said to the woman outside of the Constitution Hall, she asked him, what kind of government are we going to have? And, you know, they didn't know if they were going to have a monarchy or what. And he turned to the woman and says, republic. And then the most important words that everybody seems to forget is, if you can keep it. So I think that you is a collective term for we the people. I don't consider to have the brains or the capacity to be a mastermind for anything of this magnitude. Heck, it's hard enough just running my own household, to tell you the truth. But I do see that a communications network is the tool, not just a tool, it's the tool that enables and therefore empowers the American people to take their position, to draw that line in the sand, to get in their face at the local level. This statewide communications, Americans Restoring America, is grassroots on steroids. Okay? Grassroots on steroids. Nothing can supersede the power that comes when the people collectively rise and say, no more. At the county level, at the city level, city hall, county council meetings, these are just men and women who have their own little fiefdom to a large degree. They may have started out with best intentions, or they may have purposed their career to go that route for the power that's around it, either or. But soon, you know, as the saying goes, absolute power corrupts, or power corrupts absolutely, whatever it is. But sooner or later, when you get in there, you know, things are done and orchestrated so that you become compromised. At the county level, at the city level, you have the opportunity with not just 8 or 10 of you fanatics out there, even 20 or 30 of you fanatics out there, but you have the ability with this software to bring in 8,000 and 18,000 people out of a county area to hit that county council meeting on a particular meeting night and to make a media event out of it at the same time. Can you imagine if you have amongst you decided that, well, these 10 people here are the most articulate of us, that they have the gift of just speaking at the drop of a hat, standing up on their feet, they can talk about anything, whether they know anything about it or not, and sound like they do anyway. We're going to put those 10 people up in the first row, and the rest of us will fill the rest of the seats that we can. And then the other 1,000 or so of us, we're just going to have a tailgate party in the parking lot. In fact, we'll just have a tailgate party that spills out into the next 4 or 5 blocks, which you can do with those kinds of numbers. And this is what you do. you show them they have lost all power. With this kind of communications program, you can institute the recall mechanism. I don't know how many of you out there have heard of what the recall mechanism or what it is, but it's a common law thing that we have that is applicable to almost every public servant we have. There are a few exceptions. But the recall mechanism simply established is you get enough signatures on a properly formatted document, and you can actually pull that person out of office while they're in office, engaged, and leave the office vacant if you have to, or force a new election, whatever it is that you've got to do. You can do that with a recall. Now, the problem is opposition sees a recall coming long before it ever gets to them. Because as of today, before today, you had to amass a large number of people who would get their clipboards and go out on the street corners and start getting signatures to do these different things. And logistically, it's a nightmare. Cost is a nightmare. However, with this software, you can just agree by email to do a thing, coordinate it geographically by city or by neighborhood or by voting precinct, and in a very organized manner, collect your signatures, pass them off to the next, and literally within 30 days, without any effort at all, other than, you know, following the correct path, you'll have enough signatures to recall a city or a county official. Boom, they're out. What about a state representative? Same thing. Might take another 15 days or so, but same thing. State representatives, you know, it used to be, I think the law says that there can only be one state representative per 3,500 people. And once the population exceeds 3,500, you have to get another state representative district established. And today, most state representatives are dealing with anywhere from 500,000 to 750,000 people. Very, very unconstitutional, by the way, but regardless, there's no way that they can effectively serve in that capacity. On the other hand, if they're not following Dr. Ron Paul's litmus test, which is to hold up the Constitution, take whatever it is, the subject, and pass it through it, does it pass muster? Does it pass muster? No. And if they can't follow that simple rule, then get rid of them. And how do you get rid of them? Use the recall and get somebody that will stand up there. You know, you don't have to be brilliant to be a public servant. You just have to be faithful, knowledgeable, and dedicated to the Constitution, to our founding document. You do that, and you're going to have restored the republic. So Americans restoring America as a blanket, as the outside of the wheel, the metal itself, supported by all the different spokes, all the different subset websites, and then all networking with each other through the hub, statewide communications, you now have a viable vehicle with which the people can use once, and once used, empowers them, and once empowered, it's game over. The planned destruction of America comes to a screeching halt, and the rest of the world, I promise you, will stand up and applaud. Anyways, that's basically the real brief, it's a very thorough explanation of Americans restoring America. Earl, you want to come back in and see if we have any kind of calls or questions?
Yeah, we're gonna take a couple of questions in a minute, and I just want to share something you kind of triggered in what you said. And I don't mean to imply in any way that in the special election in Massachusetts last night that a small government proponent was elected, because that man is not. He is actually in many cases has voted for big government issues. But the thing that was kind of good about this is that, as you know, Ted Kennedy held that seat for decades, about 50 years, I think it was, and it was Democrat that whole time. It went Republican, which typically would indicate someone that would stand for a little less government than certainly a Democrat would in most cases. The other thing is that he really campaigned very strong on opposing national health care. And so people really wanted to support someone who would vote against that because they're so irate about it. So that told me something, that people are going to vote in a way that is going to support their issues if they know that that person campaigns strongly on it. The other thing that happened is today I got something from an organization called Grassfire, and they have a little ballot that says, I think it has two questions on it. One is, it says, I will vote against you if you vote for health care. The other one says, I will vote for you if you vote for health care. And of course, everyone that's getting it, almost without exception, is taking the first option. And they're sending these ballots to the Senate and to the Congress to let people know, let them know that this many people, however many it's going to be that ends up going to them, are going to vote against them or that oppose them if they vote for the health care. So, I mean, I think these are all good issues. I'm really glad to see some of this happening. I'm sure there's just thousands and thousands of examples we could give, but it just, for some reason it triggered that thought for me. So I don't know if you have any comment on that, but.
Yeah, I do, as a matter of fact. You caused something to trigger back with me, a reminder. One of the websites that we have is called mostaffordablemarketing.com. Most Affordable Marketing is the marketing arm of, you, if you would, of everything that we do. In that, I don't know if the listeners are aware of it, but there is a dedicated format that a political entertainee will use that is pretty consistent across the board, whether you're Republican or Democrat, et cetera. But, of course, it's what you do with these similar tools that they have that will wreak greater results one over the other. For instance, Obama was noted for the fact that, you know, he had used and his people had used Twitter and Facebook and all the other different electronic devices, softwares to bring about his campaign, to talk about his campaign. And, of course, McCain is sitting over there saying, you know, so this dot, dot, dash, 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 this is how it works, dot, 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 dash, dash, dash. Anyway, the point is that through Most Affordable Marketing, we created a template, do-it-yourself, easy-as-can-be website assembly for the person who is on this call that aspires to run for political office. And instead of you having to fund $10,000, $20,000 to get these kind of websites built for you, most of these the do-it-yourselfers that we're doing are like around $2,500, $2,000, $3,000, depending on what you want. As a one-time fee, that's it. And you've got all that you need to do and compete on the same level playing field as the Democrats and the Republican machines have already existing in theirs. So there's somebody in this audience that says, well, you know, I would run if I thought I had a Chinaman's chance, if I had the tools to work with. But, you know, I don't have a lot of money, and I couldn't raise that kind of money even if I was trying to, and, you know, thinking of the tens and twenties and $30,000. And so I'm just going to have to give up. On the other hand, if you could raise $2,000 to $3,000, you could have your own political campaign dropped into the web, if you would, where you can have your supporters starting to reference through, and you build up your own database, you build up your own donator base and donation base and all that goes with a political campaign. So I'm just letting you know that this Americans Restoring America is very, 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 very well thought out. I just wish I could claim to be the one that thought of everything. I did. I am not. No, right. And listen, let me just testify right now. All of this stuff is way out of my fleshly field of endeavors for my life. I fully am convinced and convicted of the fact that I have received thoughts and ideas from another place, from another who has, and that would be with a capital A for another, that has directed this path for me to follow. All I have done is been obedient to hear what I was told to do and have done it. So what you're looking at here, if I'm giving testimony, is our Father's work as to what he wants to see done. I'm in no way saying this to try to, play a, some people will play a race card, other people will play a, sympathy vote or whatever. I'm not doing any of that, and I'm certainly not traveling on his name as well. I'm just saying that these are the facts. This is not, I don't have the background to put this stuff together, but it did come together through me.
Well, that certainly is true, and it lets us know that we all have infinite power and creativity available to us. And just tap into it. And not only that, we also have each other. If we combine together, there's every talent, every creativity, every ability imaginable
out there.
If we're all together, we're way more than David and Goliath. We're millions of Davids against a single Goliath. But even with just David and Goliath, look what happened there. But anyway, that's another story. I just want to remind everybody that we're speaking with Michael Edward, and he is sharing with us today about Americans Restoring America, amongst other things, and he will also be sharing with us tomorrow another aspect of the things that he's working with. And I want to say that if you do have a question, I'm going to go to some right now in just a second, but if you have a question and you're on the phone line, just dial *2 on your phone keypad. That'll let us know you want your line unmuted, and we'll certainly do so that you can converse with Michael. And if you're online, then what you simply do is right under that link, you'll find a question box there. Just type your question in. First name, city, and state is helpful, and submit that to us, and we'll make sure that the question gets addressed. And with that, I'm going to move to the first question that we've received online. It's Melissa in Wausau. It seems like everywhere I look, China is being promoted. Invest in China, son. Invest in the Chinese stock market. It is the fastest growing economy in the world. The elite, and that's in quotation, seem to be transferring the wealth of our nation to China, removing America from the top position in wealth and growth. My question is, am I misinterpreting these things to mean what I've described above? I hope so. It seems as though our government is borrowing a lot of things from China to implement here, such as the one-child policy. Any comments on that?
Oh, sure. I think you're dead on. No, I don't think that you're misgiving in any of your statements whatsoever. You have properly expressed what Dr. James Wardner wrote in his book that he published some 20 years ago, the outcome of the planned destruction of America. And that's exactly what you're going to see take place unless we rise up and say no. And we have the tool through Americans Restoring America through statewide communications to rise up and say no, period. One thing to really remember, and I don't want to sound like a warmonger or anything like that, there are over 200 million handguns in America. And unlike our friends across the pond, if you would, in England or down in Australia, that gave up their handguns, gave up their weapons, apparently willingly, who have also seen the outcome of that with soaring crime rates that are beyond imagination. I don't believe that that's going to happen in America. I think that if they actually go for a gun confiscation, that will be the straw on the camel's back to be the trigger, pardon the pun, that will cause the ignition of open rebellion in our country. That's just my opinion. I'm hoping, praying, to preempt and prevent that day from coming by populating Americans Restoring America across the board, literally into the tens of millions. This is designed to take easily over 100 million people using the system. And if you think, well, that can never be. Remember, AOL, in its heyday, had almost 50 million customers, at one time. So, and that was years ago, before the Internet has reached the kind of peak, or the general use of the Internet has reached peak like it has today, or like it is today here in America. I think it's 88% of America is online now. So you have tools that can stop all of that, and you're absolutely right. That's the direction that they want to take us, I believe. I agree with you. But we also can stop it. We are not impotent. We are not powerless. We are the strongest nation of people. I'm not talking about national strength. I'm not talking about our soldiers in uniform or our firepower or neat science that we've got, weird science that we have. I'm talking about we as a people. We covet our freedom. We almost worship our freedom. And we're not going to let go of it at all. They'll have to kill us first. And they're ready to do that. Oddly enough, you should know, there are concentration camps. Oh, excuse me, internment camps or something else that they're going to call it, all over our nation, ready to have populations. There are extermination places already established. Our own military has already been presented with the question, would you fire on American citizens if you were ordered to? We have in either Arizona or New Mexico has actually ceded a plot of land, I don't know how many square miles, that's a Luftwaffe Air Force base. Hello? That's German soil right there in the United States. And the list goes on and on of the things that they've done. I once heard that there's over half a million military from around the world already stationed here in the United States. So they're planning, and they're willing to execute. But I think that we can make a sharp response today. I think our window is between now and 2010 elections. And if I'm able to find the people who want to get behind populating Americans, restoring America, we will own the 2010 election, no question at all. And then the 2012 will own as well, because it'll have nothing but a domino effect, cannonball effect in it. So go ahead. Your next question?
I believe that, yes. We have Michael in L.A., and another question relates to it, too. But he says, I noticed yesterday's webinar is not posted, and that other question was, where is William H. McElhaney? What I'll do is I'll explain a little bit. We had a schedule of three distinct presenters, one each of the days, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. William H. McElhaney was going to be yesterday, but he had to cancel last minute due to illness, and I think it was just basically a really, really bad cold that he had. And so he wanted to reschedule for next week. And then the woman, Sue Barrow, that was going to be on Thursday, she was just as happy to have her scheduled for next week. And it perfectly, Michael Edward had a three-segment presentation to give on these three different areas, which we're on the second one today. So that's how that all came about. But it is yesterday's webinar is posted, and it says Michael Edward. So it's the one at the very top. That one posted is yesterday's, and then there'll be another one today, and then another one tomorrow. So hopefully that will clear up any confusion there. Michael in LA also asked, what is the book name he referred to?
I referred to a book published by Dr. James Wardner. Dr. James Wardner wrote the book, The Planned Destruction of America. He wrote this some 25 years ago.
And they could probably pick it up most. Would it be available in a lot of bookstores, or where would the best place?
Well, I've already talked to Dr. Wardner, and he's agreed, and he's already given me the copy. But he's agreed to me to allow me to make it into an e-book and avail it on the net. And it's just been a thing of time. I've not had time to have somebody sit down and scan it for me and, you know, each page and do it as it needs to be done. But we're going to have it. In fact, one of the links, one of the websites that we have under Americans Restoring America is near the bottom. It's called The Planned Destruction of America. And that's devoted to teaching people where this all started and how it all came about. because somebody who's just waking up today, hey, something's wrong. I don't know what it is, but something's wrong. Well, they can refer to the Planned Destruction of America and start reading this online book, and they'll understand why something is wrong the way it is wrong and how it has fed corporations to their profit and only to their profit by creating interlocutory relationships between the various industries that we have in America, whether it's the military-industrial complex. They have their board of directors are on the same board of directors that are on the university board of directors. They're on the same board of directors that Hollywood's different film companies have. I mean, when you start looking at the fact that you've got a man or a woman who is sitting on 8 different boards as to serve on those boards, that's got to lead to the conclusion that a direction and it has been compassed and is being followed. And he bears it out beautifully in this book.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like a very good book, and it's well presented. I've heard of that book before. It's been highly recommended. So great place for people to go and check it out. They probably just need
to... If you'd like to have Dr. Wardner on your show sometime, let me know. I'll make it happen. I'd love to have you showcase him.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm really open to a lot of different guests. Certainly I don't know of all the good guests that are out there to present. I'm discovering more all the time, and yeah. I'm really open to it. I want to give a voice and a platform to people doing really good work and have our people be able to be introduced to them because, gosh knows, we need everything that's out there that will help us in our efforts to restore our liberties. Got Dwayne. I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
No, I was just concurring with you.
Okay, great. We have Dwayne in Boise. What type of security is there for statewide communications? What is in place to keep someone from joining and putting out disinformation?
Well, all right, that's 2 questions. The first is I would take it as a security question, an internet security question. I sat down before the programming began and instructed my programmer that not only are you going to find that you'll come under attack, this website will come under attack, but you're going to find out that it will come under attack by the very, very, very best who are supported with unlimited funds, and there are no empty pockets to supply that will be supplied to take this down. So the first thing out of his mouth when I had uttered that, he says, well, then you want nothing off the shelf. And what he meant is that when you buy off-the-shelf software, which is so easy and affordable today, to just pull this, pull that. They all plug and play, if you would, if you know that expression. They all work together without having to make them work together. You can build what I've got here very inexpensively and in relatively quick time, but you're using everything off the shelf to do it, and you're totally open on multiple fronts with people breaking into the system because all the things that make them uniform and the same to work together from the building standpoint were available to the programmers are also available to those that will hack your machine. Everything that we have built, the entire software program, which exceeds over one and a half million lines of custom code, is... I'm not saying it's unhackable or anything like that. I don't want to give anybody an encouragement here. But I'm just saying that it's going to take a real effort, number one. Number two, the server that we have presently, unfortunately, is here in the United States. When money becomes available, we're going to go offshore with multiple sites, multiple mirrored sites, so forth. When I bought the domain names, I particularly purchased them through a company that is offshore, so that a judicial determination here in one of the states or the feds cannot be affected or have jurisdiction to where the domain names were purchased. One of the very sad tricks that the adversary pulls on you is that they will sue you over something, anything. You're wearing a brown shirt on white shirt day, I don't know. They'll sue you. They'll get a judgment by a compliant judge, and then the judge will sit there and say, well, you owe the plaintiff $45,000. What do you have for assets? You know, we're doing an asset search, and plaintiff's asset research recovery team pulls up and says, well, he's got these domain names, and we'll take those in lieu of judgment, and the judge orders it. Well, now, if you lose your domain name, can you imagine if you were to lose the domain name, restoretherepublic.com?
Hmm.
Lose the domain name, Republic Magazine? Well, if you have those registered here in this country, that's a possible scenario. On the other hand, if you have them registered and, again, created outside of this country in a jurisdiction foreign, then you don't have judgment that can reach that to there.
Wow.
So those are the things. That's what we got going.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That's Michael in L.A. also asked, if a court judge doesn't allow evidence pertinent to your case into the courtroom, how do you, A, get your evidence in the court, and B, prosecute, or I guess it means prosecute the court and judge for fraud and obstruction of justice?
Mike, you're my kind of guy. We think right alike. Those are great questions. We covered them yesterday, by the way. There's two parts to that. First part is you don't go into court tomorrow and sit down today and start planning what you're going to do. You already have your plans in place. You already have your evidence in place. There's so much you can put into the public record that is accessible to you if you're behind bars, but wouldn't have been otherwise if you didn't get them in the public record. There's evidence that you can plant, if you pardon the expression. And what I mean by that is that you're putting your posture, your arguments in place in other places that become what's called exculpatory evidence. When the feds come after you, they never, I haven't ever seen, the feds provide their sources of information, which is your right to have, and they never provide evidence that would have exonerated you. Well, if you don't know that there's evidence out there that would exonerate you, that's one thing. But if you planted the evidence and put it out there that would exonerate you, then that's another. And so by carefully planning and structuring your case and arguing it through a moot court, if you would, before you ever were involved in that case, that's the way to go. We have information providers that your remedy is in the law who are well-trained and versed in doing that, and I would encourage you to become a member there and start listening to the archives and just start going backwards to hear who spoke about what and when they spoke about it. You can use the calendar tab for that. Now, with regards to how do you make them behave, the opening of every call that I have, I do like about a 12-minute disclaimer. And part of that disclaimer says, first, I hope you have the jurisdictionary course. If you don't have the jurisdictionary course, it's available anywhere on the net. It costs $249. Whoever you buy it from on the net, you're going to support what they're doing because they will receive financially a small commission for doing the transaction of the sale. If you'd like to support our work, go to the homepage, click on the parchment piece of paper, and you can make your purchase there. It is paramount, fundamental. It is the foundation upon which everything you do in court rests to know better than the judge your civil due process rights, your civil procedure. And that's what's taught through the jurisdictionary course. That's rule one. Number two, if you have been a member of your remedies in the law, you're going to learn that we talk about offensive litigating strategies. And what we mean by that is using the lawful remedies that are available to you that a member of the bar, an officer of the court, would never, never exercise. Why? Well, that's simple. Next week, they're before the same judge with another client. And the week after, and the week after, if they're going to preserve their own business, they better play along. Simple as that. So as a pro se litigant, you have no encumbrances upon which you can rely upon, which bind you down so that you can utilize the law as it's written to its full extent. And that is to exercise reporting to the judicial canons of your state. Read the judicial canons of your state, particularly number 3 in Florida. Look at the other judicial canons throughout your state. And then you also have the attorneys, a similar set of rules for attorneys that they have to abide by, like an attorney's code of ethics. They have to abide by those. Know them. Absolutely commit to memory both of those judicial canons and the attorney's code of ethics. Know them and have them buried in your heart, because when you see them breached in a courtroom, you start writing your criminal complaints. And if you are exercising statewide communications, that criminal complaint is by a factor of 10 or 8 or 15, whatever. And that's how you tenderize a court into good behavior. I personally witnessed from a distance, but I was there every day in communication with the people, a gentleman in Los Angeles who is a tattoo parlor artist. And he happened to be in the way of community development. His lease and his place of doing business was in on a block that the city government wanted to take over, renovate, and prepare for better business, I guess to have a higher tax base or whatever. And he refused to play. So they came up, and they had some charges trumped up against him and everything else, and they brought him into court. Well, he was knowledgeable enough in the law to be able to say to the judge, wait a minute, you can't do this because you have to do that and that first. He knew his due process. This made the judge livid. She screamed at him, how dare you insult the court by instructing this court what I can. This is my court, and on, okay? And she then said, I think that you're possibly mentally unstable. The court is ordering you to have psychiatric analysis. I want you to go to Dr. A, B, and C, or Dr. A and Dr. B for analysis. When they gave him, the court gave him the paper, the instruction said for him to go to see Dr. D and E. He was verbally told A and B. The paper said D and E. So he went to his own Dr. C and got the analysis done through his own doctor. Knowing that when he appeared in court next, that she was waylaying a trap for him, he was prepared to stay in jail, go to jail. He went into the court, filed before the court. He had written a demand for her recusal. And that was part of the court record. So when he showed up for his hearing that day, she says, I have reports you have not gone to Dr. A and B like I instructed you to. Do you have anything to say? And he goes, yes, I do. Do you have any reason you haven't recused yourself? Bailiff, remand him. Click. It was over that fast. The hearing lasted 3 minutes, whatever it was. So in law, you have a right, a substantive right to allocute. If that right is deprived from you, anything after that is without the umbrella of immunity that judges purport to have. Judges have an umbrella of immunity against civil actions, but no judge has an umbrella of immunity against criminal action. So by her ordering the bailiff to remand him, gosh, what do we have? Kidnapping, extortion, and the list goes on and on. Criminal complaints were filed, copied to the FBI, copied to the Attorney General of California, copied to everybody, copied all over the place. He was released the next morning, and then the copy started. The next court date was set, and she appeared, and she all of a sudden changes her entire demeanor from the wicked, wicked witch that she had been to, oh, Mr. Citizen, I'm so glad that you're well and everything is all right, and I just want you to know, sir, that it is our utmost desire in the judiciary to serve and to support the Constitution, to support your constitutional rights, and blah, 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 blah. And per your request for a recusal, I'm stepping down. A court date has now been established on such and such a date before Judge so-and-so. He leaves the courtroom. Judge, that court date comes, that he appears. Judge is reading through now a pile of paperwork that had been put in place, very, very well crafted by one David Merlin. And he's reading through this, and he goes, you know, the defendant here is raising some very, very valid questions. Mr. Prosecutor, I'm instructing you to prepare this report and that report, and I want to have it ready by this Tuesday week coming. Prosecutor jumps up, Your Honor, that's going to require over 100 hours worth of work to prepare those reports. Judge drops his spectacles from his eyes to the tip of his nose, looks over the spectacles, and says, and? Yes, Your Honor, we'll have it ready. When the 2 days later, the defendant, the tattoo parlor guy, had in his mailbox all charges had been dismissed and that the following court date had been canceled for him. So that is the power of knowing what the judicial canons are for your state, what the attorney's code of conduct is, and how to prosecute, how to act as a prosecutor in your own case while you're a defendant reporting crimes. So that's that story.
That's very good. Well,
it
sounds like you can really turn it totally around very, very quickly and easily. Very empowering. I want to remind everyone.
The media is in support of this planned destruction. Obviously, they continually show on the news the police shooting. You know, how many rounds did it take to kill the suspect? Well, it was 168. Well, why so many bullets? Because we ran out. You know, they're quoted as saying that was right here in Florida. So the what they're trying to teach you through Hollywood whatever manipulation is that give up. You're not strong enough to fight us. It's over. Your best chances are to go peaceably into servitude to us. This is what they're wanting to, this is what they're communicating. But the heartbeat of America is coming back, and pardon my language, saying, hell no.
Mm-hmm.
End quote. And it ain't going to happen. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to happen. We've got too much. We've got too much in our favor. We've got too many things that are on the table that we can utilize to bring about change. The work that Restore the Republic is doing, many, many other national fine organizations are doing, the prayerful soon implementation of statewide communications will absolutely put an end to it. In time space nearly overnight. Within 3 to 5 years, we'll have our country back.
That's certainly the news that all of us want to not only hear, but see manifested over the coming years. So that's a very helpful talk. It definitely is. We do have some other questions I'm going to move to.
Sure.
I just want to remind everybody that we're speaking with Michael Edward of AmericansRestoringAmerica.com. And I would also say that you may want to, if you feel that maybe you've missed part of something or you kind of came in at a point, we did recap at the beginning of this webinar, but you can certainly go and listen to yesterday's webinar too and kind of it catch up and get more reinforced on what was covered yesterday, and we'll actually complete things tomorrow with statewide communications. And if
right.
you would like to join the conversation, if you're on the phone line, dial *2 on your phone keypad, and we'll see that you'd like to ask a question. We'll unmute your line so that you can do so. If you're online, there's a question box there on that same page where the link is, just under it, and type your question in there and submit that to us, and we'll make sure that it gets asked. And I'm going to move to some of those questions right now that we received online, which we've been covering some already. We've got, we've got Phil in London. He says, "Dear Michael and Earl, great show as usual. Apathy rules and the public kept in ignorance of the true position. The theft of trillions of dollars has taken place and no one seems to worry. The millions wasted on the swine flu scam and no one is held accountable. The global warming hoax has been exposed and people still worship Al Gore. Over 800 prison camps have been built and no one protests. They are ready for us." Any comments on that?
No, you're dead on the money, and I'm about solutions. That's my only thought, and I can't embellish on what you said. You're 100% correct.
Spoke to a little bit of that before as well. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. We have someone that just said anonymous. And they ask, "Why should I believe anything you say when on your statewide pages you say your passion is sodomy, et cetera? What is your full legal name and business land address once you're not listed on your site?" Wow, what a strange question.
No, actually, it's a very good question. It's one I won't answer, and the reason is very simple. I don't want a target on me.
Okay.
What else can I tell you?
Yeah, yeah. And it's certainly your prerogative to do that which you do, which is moral and legal. So that's certainly. But I mean, he says you say, or this person, I don't know what's he or she. They say you say your passion is sodomy, et cetera. What
passion is sodomy?
Yeah, I don't know what they mean. I don't know if they're trying to say that you're saying that you're for sodomy and that's your passion, or that you're passionate about those issues in the way that it's represented there. I wonder if they clicked on the link to find out what was really said there.
I don't know. But
what angle have they asked that question from?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let me just personally state that my passion is to save the unborn. The life of the scripture tells us that I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. And there are so many scriptures that support the creation, that life comes into existence at the moment of conception. There was the impetus that started me, the floodgate on this, was, I don't know if you remember the news back in the early 90s, a abortion clinic, a woman's crisis center, as it was called, having dumpsters in the back of their parking lot. A dumpster truck driver was pulling up, and under the din of the diesel engine and all the noise that's created, he heard what he thought was a baby crying. And he shut his rig down and still heard it and went and investigated, and he found a live aborted child in the dumpster, and called, you know, the 911 and all the stuff that happened after that. The child died shortly afterwards. But that was the thing that broke my heart, that caused me to first build His Bride Ministries. And His Bride Ministries is dedicated to the discussion of abortion, sodomy, pornography, and secular humanism as taught in the public school system. Those are the topics dedicated to His Bride Ministries. His Bride Ministries was actually the first website that I built, but it was Your Remedy is in the Law, the second website that I built, that received all the attention because of the fact that so many people were particularly immediately injured and needed immediate, you know, resolution. So So I put my marketing experiences together to create the umbrella, your remedies in the law, the various information providers, getting them under the umbrella to support these people who need help so desperately. But no, the caller is, or the gentleman, anonymous, is correct in one thing. I have a passion, and that passion, my personal passion, is the unborn. Second Amendment is right there with it, but unborn is first.
Okay.
Life is sacred. Life is sacred.
Okay. We have Beth from Raleigh, and I assume that's North Carolina. In fact, I went to school there, North Carolina State University, and lived there for quite a few years. Anyway, that's another topic. Let's see. Oh, gosh. This thing just flipped off the questions. Let me go back to them again. What Beth is saying is statement to Melissa. I'm not sure what that means, statement to Melissa. The elite are not concerned about America losing the top economic position. The entire body of elitists are from every country, looking forward to the global government. They can only achieve that by tearing down the world's perception of the United States as a superior nation. Question. I've heard certain groups starting to try to rally people to protest by withholding state federal tax payment to the government and protest banking atrocities by withholding all future payments toward credit card debts. Do you feel this would be an effective tactic against big banks and or government?
Do me a favor and go back to the homepage of your remedy is in the law. You read yesterday a quotation regarding taxes.
Are you saying to me?
Yeah.
Go to your remedy. Okay, your remedy.
Go to the homepage, and there's a statement right there on the front of the homepage regarding taxes.
Yeah, let's see. That is, do you have an IRS lien or levy and you don't work for the federal government? And then are you aware?
A little further down.
Are you aware that you may not be liable? Not that one either?
No, we advocate the payment.
Oh, yeah, we fully support legal taxes. Is that the one?
Yeah.
But not any. But not any taxes which one is not required to pay or is prohibited by the Constitution of the United States of America.
That's my answer.
In other words,
if you got a tax bill from Canada and you've never stepped foot in Canada, you're not a Canadian citizen, you haven't earned any money in Canada, you just got a tax bill in the mail, would you pay it? No. You have no duty, no liability under law. So all we're saying is that everything that you do have a duty under law to pay, pay it. Our taxing system, our government, our legal system is a Ferrari. We've got the best legal system in the world. We have a taxing-based system that's absolutely proper and lawful. We also have gross manipulation and misapplication of those taxing laws, which the judges say is a political question to resolve, as if they don't see it as a lawful question to resolve. Anyways, that's my answer.
Okay. Well, I think that's clear enough. They, you know, so many things are just stated very clearly, and you can read between the lines and make sense of what's there. Beth and Raleigh also has another one here. Four questions. Pick what you want to ask or not. Would any of your services be able to address the fact that Obama's position as chairman of the UN Security Council is unconstitutional? Maybe if you
In my opinion, it is. And Orly Tate, the attorney, has addressed that in her lawsuit, I believe. So I would defer the answer to your question to Dr. Orly Tate, Esquire, who is still on the table fighting Obama's election to office or his right to hold the office, not being a natural-born citizen.
Okay. All right. And how do you feel about Obama giving himself power to shut down the Internet if he feels he has reason to declare a state of emergency or feels he has reason to declare martial law?
Oh, boy, that's a loaded question. First off, biblically speaking, a strong man that enters your house can take whatever he wants unless you resist. And I don't believe that executive orders, you see, the entire thing about executive orders is that it's predicated upon the fact that there's a state of emergency. Well, we've been under a state of emergency, I think, since the Civil War. And, you know, it's never been lifted. So that's a crock. We just have to put people in power. We have to get rid, even at the loss of a few good men and women, if it happens, we just have to vote every single incumbent out of office. And I don't care if a person goes into office with a high school education, and that's all they've got. They at least know right from wrong, and our country would be better off with that level of competency versus what we have today, which is a very educated group of people determined to bring us down, in my opinion.
Okay. Let's see. The other thing is, would we be able to recall Obama's decision to create his crony group, the Council of Governors?
I'm not a lawful student, law student. I'm a marketer. And there are people I have in the organization through your remedies in the law that could really answer that question from a lawful point of view. I would guess that anything and everything that's been done can be undone. You know, they tell you about treaties being the law of the land, but a treaty doesn't mean squat in the face of a people that won't accept it. So, again, the American people are going to have the kind of government they allow to have. Simple as that.
Makes sense, totally, yes. Okay.
Yeah, get rid of the incumbents, replace them.
Okay. And then the last question is, what is happening with Hermer versus U.S., case number 09-651?
Again, I'm a marketer, and you'll have to ask the people that I have at Your Remedies in the Law for that answer.
Okay, and they maybe have had that triggered by the fact we had Jeff Dickstein on last week, just before that was going to be considered whether the Supreme Court would hear it or not. I don't know the answer to that either, but perhaps I can find out, and we may even have Jeff come back and share some more with us again. Okay, we've got Anonymous.
Welcome back.
Again, okay, I'm not too much of someone that would screen stuff or that would try to, only if someone is being seriously abusive or they're using inappropriate words, you know, curse words or whatnot. But I'm just, you know, just put it out what they said. Hey, host, this guy is full of baloney as regards the courts. Sounds like he's on the wrong side against patriots. What the heck are his purported credentials anyway? I'm curious this person asked this sort of question. I don't know. That's strange.
I don't understand the question. Would you repeat it?
Yeah. Let's see. This guy is full of baloney as regards the courts. Sounds like he's on the wrong side against patriots. What the heck are his purported credentials anyway?
Okay. Again, I have stated repeatedly on this call, I am not a man knowledgeable in the law. I am a marketer. However, I do assemble a multiple of people, there's over 20 of them, who are knowledgeable in the law. And they have their platform, their bully pulpit, through yourremediesinthelaw.com. So before you, you know, cast aspersions on where I stand, I encourage you to at least investigate, give a cursory examination at least of the work, the body of the work at Your Remedy is in the Law, before you, you know, make any statements about my standing.
Yeah. You know, I always have to wonder, and I don't know, this person may be an absolutely impeccable patriot, and they may be a very wonderful person. But I get so many questions on these webinars, and people have no difficulty at all putting their name and where they're from and all that. And this person chooses to definitely be anonymous, to not give us any clue at all. They don't stand behind it with their name. Of course, they could make up a name, obviously, but
sure.
I'm wondering about that and to take this approach. So I hope that they'll think about what they're saying and maybe look at the website and get more information. I don't see any way they could say that you would be on the wrong side against patriots. That's astounding to me,
yeah,
that would come up, as well as,
now,
as implying that you support sodomy or something. I don't know if that's what they were saying, but it was really odd.
Yeah, really. Bizarre. Anyways, I'm often asked in the application for membership why I have to have all this information, that they don't want to give me their name or anything else that's going to track them down. And I tell them, look, when you apply, I don't care if you lie about your name, and I don't care if you lie about the actual street that you live on. Tell the truth about the city, the county, a voting precinct that applies to you, a neighborhood that applies to you, if you want to be able to communicate at that level, and a zip code, even though you're not in the federal zone, which is applicable for zip codes only. Even though you're not in the federal zone, put it in anyways, because we're not a federal agency, and there is no nexus between what you're doing there and this. The whole purpose of statewide communications is to be able to target the communication to a venue, be it a political venue or a geographical venue. And you're lying about your first name, your name, and you're lying about the street that you live on, that it doesn't have to be that defined. So, you know, I embrace your anonymity. I don't want people to know who I am. Like I said to the earlier caller, I don't want a target on me. So I frequently change where I am. I frequently change phone numbers. I change everything all the time just because I don't want to be found. I realize that what I'm doing is going to put a spotlight on me if they can help it. I don't want it.
Yeah, and to keep doing what you're doing, you need to be around and be functional, so you don't want to just be a target that gets hit and taken out. So,
right. Well, how good am I in jail, okay, or dead? I serve no purpose then. I'm not doing anything. So, you know, that's why I do what I do, how I do it.
Certainly. Okay, Michael in L.A. and I think they're asking about the previous example you gave, was he incarcerated by the bailiff before he made criminal charges against the judge?
Oh, that's the tattoo guy.
Yeah.
No, he made criminal charges. The judge had not committed a crime until she refused to allow him to allocute. And when she refused to allow him his right to allocution, she then stepped out from underneath any umbrellas of immunity. She became a thug at that point in time. So then the bailiff, by her order, putting his hands on him, the bailiff handcuffing him, taking him away, you know, that's assault, battery, kidnapping, extortion. It's going to cost you X amount of dollars to get out and everything else. The charges came after.
Okay. All right. And I think since we're nearing the hour and a half point, we'll probably
sure.
just take I do have one more question right now, and that may be the last one, unless we get one in very, very quickly, and then we'll probably have you do a wrap up, and then we'll have tomorrow, of course, again to
sure.
continue. We have Melissa in Wausau, and she it sounds like here she's kind of explaining a little bit what may have happened, which was kind of what I thought may have happened. The sodomy comment they got from his site under issues, not necessarily passion. Maybe they just misunderstood what they looked at. They looked at his site and took it out of context, and that may be it.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was wishful thinking on their part. I don't know.
We don't know, but anyway, I would say, you know, I would urge everyone to that's following this to go back and listen to yesterday's webinar as well. I think what that will do is it will lay that foundation for you to see where we came in at and how this all built up to where we went today and where we're going to go tomorrow. I think it'll help a lot and fill in some of the blanks. Maybe Anonymous wasn't on yesterday and would have had a whole different understanding as well.
Sure.
With that, I want everyone to know that this has been recorded, and we'll post the recording shortly after this webinar ends, as we always do. Go to republicmagazine.com/webinar for seeing our different webinars that are posted there. And I invite you to scroll down through the menu of webinars. There's quite a library there of every type of topic related to freedom, liberty, patriots, constitutional issues, that sort of thing. And share them with others. Don't just hoard it through yourself. And we will, you know, we'll pick this up tomorrow and move to the third phase of what we're going to cover. The statewide communication is a very important aspect to this whole picture that Michael Edward is sharing with us. And so with that, Michael Edward, if you would, if there's a final thought you'd like to leave us with, then this would be the time to do that.
Sure. Yeah, I'm going to have a final thought and a segue into tomorrow's call. The first thing that comes to my mind is that I just want to stand up and vigorously applaud the work of Restore the Republic. Aaron Russo planted a wonderful seed. The efforts of Gary Franchi and all of those that surround the work that's being done there are to be vigorously applauded. The people that support what Restore the Republic is doing, I have an attaboy and a pat on the back as well, because it is this nucleus of people, and the same replicated across the country with other organizations that we may never heard of yet, that hopefully prayerfully will come forward with statewide communications, that is going to make this different. It's going to make this country the country it was and bring us back to the vision of our founding fathers. Tomorrow's call is going to now be, we talked yesterday about a specific application of America's Restoring America, which is your remedy is in the law.com. Today we talked about America's Restoring America and how it's designed to have a impression or a desire by virtually most every segment of the community. Some people's passion is homeschooling. That's as far as they're going to go. There's a website dedicated to that. Some people have a passion for the unborn. His Bride Ministries is dedicated to that. Some people have a passion for the Second Amendment. The People's Bill of Rights.com has is addressing that. And the list goes on and on. Tea Party people have their own place there. And the list goes on and on. It's to address and attract the majority of Americans to come to a place where they can communicate and bring and focus that communication to the local geographical, to the local political level. And that's what we're going to be discussing tomorrow night, or tomorrow afternoon, and statewide communication, which is the background. It's the center hub, if you would, to this wheel we call Americans Restoring America. So it would be, I'd ask that you go to your computer, send out an e-blast to your address book. If you belong to any blogs or e-groups, let them know about the call and populate this phone number and PIN number. It's a most important call. In fact, these 3 days. You know, that's one other thing I want to bring up to mind. Don't you find it providential, if you would, that it just happened that I had 3 subjects distinct to cover that we were going to put into 1 day, that all of a sudden the 3 days open up for the 3 days of subjects? You know, I've watched this all my life. I mean, I've watched this for the last 10 years happen, that the paths are open, the doors are open for things to be done.
Absolutely. That's very good. He
is our provision.
All right. Well, with that, I want to, you know, thank everyone for being with us today, and you, Michael Edward, for sharing what you have today. And we'll look forward to tomorrow. Same time, same place, everyone, tomorrow, and bring friends with you, and let's really populate this. And have a wonderful rest of the day, everyone. Bye-bye.